Gerard Mayo this morning on a Mayo Monday, Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app.
On to Arizona is what he is.
Have you been told you're coming back by Robert Kraft?
I'm not going to get into all that. That'd be a no.
So, I mean, I don't know. Is it standard protocol on the bye week or even late in the season to be told you're coming back? Is that an after the season thing? Like, I don't.
Do you think he's confident that he will be back?
Well,
actually, maybe that's not the right way of asking, because he might be, but maybe he shouldn't be.
I think he's at least talking like he is.
He has talked about how he's going to make the year two jump.
That answer shows a little bit of, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's alternate ways to look at how he answered that. Like, I'm not going to speak for my owner through the media and reveal anything. Like, that's all possible. But that's the first time I've heard him not talk like he's back next year, right? He's constantly been like, I'm going to make a year or two leap. We're going to be better next year. Blah, 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 blah. Here, have you been told you're back? I'm just focusing on this week.
Yeah, it is weird because I'm sure his contract is for, what, 4 years? Three, four, five?
Something like
four
that.
Four years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, like, should you have to be told that you're going to be back? Maybe not. Like, if it's implied that you're back, I'm sure that, you know, you wouldn't go to a good head coach who's under contract and be like, hey, you're definitely back next year.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
Thanks. So maybe by not even being told, you can kind of spin it as, isn't that a positive? Like, I didn't get that reassurance, which would come at a time where you're like, yeah, I was planning on being back. Like, what, you're telling me that I'm going to be back? So I don't know, but like, you are 3-10. You talk all the time about wins and losses, and you're 3-10. So,
and you guaranteed you'd be better than a year ago.
And you're not going to be.
No.
And so
you might be worse.
And
right now, it looks like you're going to be worse.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to be worse. But so it's sort of a tough one. It is a tough question because maybe he has, but he doesn't want to put it out there that Robert Kraft said that. Or he hasn't, and then it just sort of allows you to sort of like jump into it. But it is funny when he's so focused on Arizona. Like, okay, like that's. Because he doesn't always do that, right? Like, that's one thing. When Bill would be pretty consistent with all that
nonsense. The idea is he's supposed to be transparent and answer everything.
Nah, he's not.
And he completely punted on that.
No.
So it could be nothing. I acknowledge that could be nothing.
Yeah. Do you think Robert Kraft knows right now 100% what he is doing next year?
No.
See, I think these four games are pretty important. I think these four games, and maybe, again, not necessarily record, because you're going to be dogs in all of them. You got the Bills twice, but is it a bleep storm? Is it like more like questions? Because that report came out, or not the report, but the sit down that Mayo had with Curran, and he's like, Kraft talks to him after every game and asks him questions after every game, like, why didn't you go for two, or why did you do this here and that there? So if it's four more games where there's a lot of questions and you don't like the answers, maybe that changes Robert's opinion.
I think it's beyond just the wins and losses. I agree with you. The last month is important for his job security. You could win two games and it could look totally different. You could get smoked in all four games and it could look totally different. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think Robert Kraft has made up his mind 100% yet. I think he has a preference right now, but I don't think it's a done deal either way.
So maybe Robert hasn't said anything to him.
Right.
You know, he's just waiting. Let's see how this goes.
The last month of the year is about more than just the results on the field. They could lose all four games and he could save his job if they're competitive and they look like they're on the upswing and he's not sticking his foot in his mouth every week and the secondary market for season tickets or tickets rather isn't cratering. If that continues to crater and, you know, you have what happened with the Giants. What if you have what happened with the Giants this last weekend? Somebody's flying a plane over the stadium or something like that and it's a disaster, right?
Yeah.
And Mayo is constantly screwing up from a PR standpoint in front of the podium and you have more of that in the last month? Then I think Robert might go, look, I know what I said, and I was high on Gerard Mayo, and I compared it to, when I was getting married. I compared it to my wives.
Yeah.
But I can't do this again. It's too much of a disaster. So, no, I think it could cut either way. I would just point out it's not just about on the field. That's a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other factors to it. How much of a clown show does this turn into in the final month?
So they're on the road this week. They're on the road next week. And then they finish the season back-to-back home games. So you could be 3-12, and it's a Sunday afternoon. What would that be? In between Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. It's like, you want to go spend your 3 hours watching a 3-12 team play the Chargers?
Nope.
Like that could be pretty sparse There might be some Christmas presents that people are giving away. Season ticket holders should be giving away their tickets for Christmas.
And like
this year.
I said, I mean, I don't know. Like, how far are we away from what happened with the Maras in New York? Somebody's flying a plane over the stadium saying, yeah, Robert Kraft, do something. Like, how far are we away from that? That's a public embarrassment for ownership.
He's got to maybe get his chopper up in the air to block anybody from coming over. Just hold the chopper up all the whole game.
It's a good point. John Henry just saved a bunch of money on Juan Soto. So maybe he could, him and Kraft aren't exactly besties. So we could jump in on that. Speaking of that,
yes,
Mark in Bedford is waiting patiently on the Juan Soto discussion. Go ahead, Mark.
All right, Mark.
So it was pretty obvious, I guess, that Soto was going to go to whoever offered him the most money. So if Toronto was serious in getting Juan Soto and they offered him $800 million, do you think he would have took the trip to Toronto instead of the Mets?
Lodged pretty snugly.
They have a way about themselves right now. But real quick on Soto, I do feel like he was the highest bidder.
Me too.
So if it was... Now, here's the question, though, is do the Blue Jays go to 800? Do they allow the Mets to go to 801?
Correct.
I feel like the Mets would have gone to 801.
Would Boris shop it back? But to answer his question...
Highest bidder.
If the Blue Jays had the highest offer, would Soto have gone to Toronto? Yes.
I think so. I think so, too. My guess would be that, yeah.
Well, based on his track record, he's on his fourth team.
And what he has said publicly, hiring Boris... And how this ended. This isn't a situation where we found out a day later, well, the Yankees actually offered the most. Oh, no, the Dodgers actually. No. The team that offered the most is where he went.
Correct.
So there you go.
So, yeah, I think if that were the Red Sox, I think if that were the Blue Jays, mm-hmm, Dodgers, whoever offered the most money, that was where he was going to wind up. And we are not giving the Red Sox any credit. I guess I gave them the D-minus for at least playing the game this year, where they didn't even play the game with Ohtani last year.
I don't know what's worse, getting your fans' hopes up or not getting them up at all, because their end result's the same.
Well, if they do nothing, this is worse, Keith.
Okay.
If they do nothing, and I mean they don't land a big fish, they don't land, however you define that, Burns, Fried, Sasaki, Bregman, Pete Alonso, you know, if they don't land somebody like that in free agency, I think it has to be free agency, not a trade.
So free agency, according to MLB.com, so everybody's got their own list, the top five free agents are Juan Soto,
gone.
Corbin Burns.
Out there.
Sasaki.
Available.
Blake Snell.
Gone.
Alex Bregman.
Available.
So if you get Burns and Bregman, I'm with you. Then you're going to be like, okay, good offseason.
So the Red Sox can still have a successful offseason. I'm not giving them any credit.
No.
But they could still have a successful offseason, and I think a lot of fans, and I would, a lot of fans would forgive not landing Soto at the end of the day if you go out and still spend. But you have to go out and still spend. My preference was Soto, but I've said all along, there's merit to, they need pitching.
A bunch of different ways to attack it.
And there's another way to go about it. So they still need to spend. We know their budget was $700 million this offseason. We know it. So go spend some of that money.
We're heading down the wrong path because they were reportedly in on Blake Snell and didn't get him. They were obviously reportedly in on Juan Soto, didn't get him. They, for some reason, were in on Willy Adames, which I don't even know why they would be. More position changes going on there, but whatever. He's another top 10 or was a top 10 free agent, but they didn't get him. So the one guy they've gotten so far is Aroldis Chapman on a one-year deal, and we're... supposed to think, like, hey, maybe this will be a good offseason?
I don't know if you're supposed to think it necessarily. I just...
you want to. Like, if you're being rumored... Like, this... They were trying to make it feel like the Red Sox of old, where, like, you didn't get Mark Teixeira, but you were in it to the bitter end.
The Yankees get nobody, too. So like, the Yankees and Red Sox are finalists for Max Fried. Why do you think the Yankees are going to get him and not the Red Sox? Both those teams were runners-up for Juan Soto. Hal Steinbrenner does not pay.
They offered more... They were just in the World Series. They've had far fewer missed playoff seasons than the Red Sox have had. I know the Red Sox have had more World Series.
Yeah, but
so that's good.
We're talking about spending. So they made a better offer to Soto. Fair point.
They got Soto originally.
But they
made a trade and got him.
But they also didn't land him at the
end
of the day.
That's
so,
true.
Okay, the Red Sox just have to outbid the Yankees, who also kind of get nobody.
Yeah.
They paid Judge a year ago. You paid Devers. So, like, the Yankees kind of get nobody these days. So, let's see. You have to follow through and do it. And by the way, Rob Bradford, WEEI. You can read what he has up there on the website. You can check out the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, Odyssey app. The Red Sox will turn to using some of their resources.
All right. Yeah, keep the rest.
Because, again, it was around $700 million that they offered to Soto, around, according to Sean McAdam. They'll use some of the resources not spent on Soto to make plays for other high-priced free agents, such as Max Fried and Corbin Burns, along with Teoscar Hernandez, but per sources, One of the players the Red Sox might immediately be prioritizing, Alex Bregman.
How do you feel about Bregman?
I like it. I like that he has a winning pedigree.
Yeah, but he's 30 plus, 31 plus.
Can I give you another thing I love about it?
He's on the back nine.
Unless he's playing second base, and Tomasi has hinted that maybe Bregman would be open to playing second base. Unless he's playing second base, it moves Devers off of third, which I also desperately think needs to happen.
Yeah.
So trading for Arenado, I'm less crazy about. I didn't realize his numbers had dropped off as much as they had.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's even way older than
Bregman. I like the idea of moving Devers, though. So Bregman, to me, is two things. It's a winning player. It's spending money. And I guess the third part is moving Devers off a third where he shouldn't play.
Yeah.
He doesn't play well. He's not a fit there. He's not a third baseman. He's really a DH. If you're going to tell me he can play some first base, fine. But now you're moving some dominoes. I love the Bregman signing, but...
Potential signing.
If they did it, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But on its own, is that enough? No, they would still need to add an arm.
Bregman last year hit 260 with 26 home runs, 75 RBI, and an OPS of 768,
that's
which is
great.
The lowest of his career.
Not great. And that's in a contract year.
Right. I think he's good, but like I don't think he is what he was. He had a run there when they were in and like right around the World Series, like 18 and 19. Mid-20s, it looked like he was going to be a guy that was like next-level MVP candidate year in and year out. And he hasn't, but he's been good. So, like, he's an upgrade, and I'll take him. And then you're right, that sort of bumps guys around. Does Devers just become the DH? Can you trade Yoshida? Because you've already said he can't play in the outfield.
Right.
So now you have a backup DH making whatever, however many million he is. Which is fine. Like, I'm not saying, oh, you can't bring in Bregman because you have, like, a log jam. Like, no, get the best players. I'm all for getting the best players and then figuring it out. But, like, Soto and Burns are so head and shoulders, the best position player, best pitcher, that after that, Bregman probably is towards the top of the list. But it is a little bit of, like, a, okay. Like, he's closer to Trevor Story than I want him to be. Like,
yeah.
When they signed Trevor Story, I was like,
I'd acknowledge
really?
That. It's,
like, yeah.
It's closer to Trevor Story. I like Bregman.
Bregman's peak years were mid
yeah,
scandal.
Yeah, I think Bregman,
ooh.
Well, that's a fair point, too. That's
he
a fair point, too.
He led the league in walks. He was second and fifth in MVP voting those 2 years.
That makes him a fit with Cora.
I was going to say reunited with Cora.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
they unlock something.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Good
maybe,
fit.
Maybe he'll work with him.
Yeah, spin it that way.
This is insane.
Yeah, you need Cora is what he needs.
2019. He walked, you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
119 times.
Nice.
You know how many
years
times?
Later, it was like 40.
He walked 44 times this year.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's getting more aggressive, Keith.
Is that what it is?
He doesn't want to be a three-outcome player,
Got
Keith.
It.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He also had 41
bombs. For the good of the sport,
year,
Keith.
41 bombs!
For the good of the sport.
Yeah.
It seems like an outlier year.
Super clean.
It's almost like he knew what pitch was coming.
If we're doing this
he
in 20,
100% did.
If we're doing this in 20 years and he's a random baseball player of the day, we're going to be looking at it going, what happened that year?
What happened to Bregman?
So speaking of what happened,
yeah, let's find out.
We'll take you back through the Chiefs result last night. I know Mark and Medford all fired up about it. Are the Chiefs lucky or are they good? We'll also get to the Bills and Rams yesterday. Josh Allen and the Bills lose in advance of a big game against the Lions. Plus later on this hour, we're going to have more details on Bill Belichick and the University of North Carolina. Florio says Bill's stunned. The phone isn't ringing from the NFL. And this may be the best offer he has, which shocks me. So we can get to that later on this hour. We'll take you back through week 14, a bye week for the New England Patriots. What happened right after trending with Billy Lanning?